Good morning, Fort McMurray, Wood Buffalo, and the rest of the world. You've tuned in to the Mac City Morning Show. I am your host, Elliot Pierre. We're going to start today's episode off the same way we start every episode off, with a moment of gratitude. You could be doing a million other things with your time, and the fact that you spend it with us truly does mean the world.
How's it going, you guys? It's Jake White, JJW, coming at you from Norrell Toyota in Fort McMurray. Just wanted to say hi and come on down, check the place out.
Hi, my name's Richard. I'm the service manager here at Norrell Toyota.
Hi there, I'm Adam. I'm here at Norrell Toyota. I'm a product advisor.
Hi, I'm Cass. I'm the appointment coordinator. Happy to help you.
Hey, it's Keith Simpson here. I'm the general manager of Norrell Toyota, soon to be Fort McMurray Toyota. Pretty excited for our new dealership. As you've seen, you met all my staff. These guys are all my family. We're here to take care of you. Come on down and be part of our family.
To me. So thank you. On that note, Tanner, hit him with the intro. And we are back. Big shout out to Norrell Toyota, our title sponsor for today's episode. We really do appreciate your ongoing support. As everybody at home knows, I do not introduce my guests because they can do a better job of that than myself. So sir, can you please tell everybody at home who you are and what you're about?
My name is Craig Milley. I'm the president of QP Local 1505. We represent 1,400 municipal workers and public service workers throughout the region. Our bargaining units are the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo, Transit, Rotary House, Wood Buffalo Housing, Fort McMurray Airport Authority, and Regional Recreational Corporation. So we have a very broad range of services that are offered by our members, and we're quite proud of the work they do.
Wow, that's busy.
It is definitely a busy job,
yeah.
Especially where there's so many dynamics around the kinds of work from a recreational facility such as Mack Island or the Fort Chippewan Recreation Facility, Conklin, the Airport Authority. Obviously, they make sure the runways are safe for people to fly in, fly out of the region.
Yeah.
Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo, whether it be the transit services or you look at our people in roads, parks, you know, the administrative staffs, billing. Everything that is offered by the municipality is offered by our members. Mm. Wood Buffalo Housing, two units there. One offers the subsidized housing, Wood Buffalo Housing itself. Mm-hmm. And then Rotary House, which is a independent living facility for seniors. So it is definitely a very broad range.
Yeah, that's wild. And how long have you been involved in all of this?
I got involved in the union in 2020. December of 2020, I'm a very all or nothing kind of person. And when I put myself into something, I dedicate 100% of myself to it. With that said, it was kind of, you know, there was some stuff going on and I thought it was time to get engaged and jumped right in the fire and ran for president, was successfully elected at that time. And I've been president since.
Cool. So like, what have you seen change since your time in office?
There's been some significant things that changed. Obviously, when I came into office, with it being 2020, it was mid-pandemic.
That's what I'm saying.
Very, very difficult times. We had a lot of our members that were working from home, working remotely. The reintegration back into the workforce was obviously challenging. Mm-hmm. Then when we have when we had all the stuff with the vaccinations, some of our bargaining units required vaccination mandates, some didn't. Mm. So there's been a lot of change surrounding that. Now everybody's back. We've had several significant issues with our bargaining units and really taxpayer funds as of late, with the Regional Municipality of Wood Buffalo struggling to get pay increases and so on. And then obviously, if for anybody that's been paying attention to the news, there's some controversy right now over the previous Director of Human Resources, with illegitimate bonuses that have been handed out between herself and we don't know who else, but we're assuming it's going to be other leadership positions.
Mm-hmm. So what is that? Explain, go into a little detail of that. I saw like the blurb online, but I didn't really like check it out. Like $1 million, I think?
Yes, there was $1 million that was wrongfully allocated to, it doesn't list who, but we do know that Carrie Donnelly had given herself, or allegedly given herself, $100,000 of that money in illegitimate bonuses. All this comes at a time that we're struggling to get pay increases for members. Like even in the RMWB unit, the market rate adjusted employees have only seen a 1% increase since 2017. And then we get into Rotary House, we're trying to get 4% over 2 years and they want to give us zeros. As they're stating, they got to be responsible with taxpayer money.
Yeah.
However, at the same time, the Director of Human Resources is handing out over $1 million with of undisclosed bonuses.
Yeah. How does that get caught? How does somebody find something like that in regards to, like, when you work, like, for any large organization? Like, there's tons of people who are like checks and balances. I've worked for big oil and gas companies. I'm assuming the municipality has that in check. So how does something like that, like, fall through the cracks, and how do you end up finding out about that?
So from my understanding, from what I've reviewed from the lawsuit, It identifies that when it was coded into the payroll systems, it was done in a very elusive way to ensure that it wasn't caught by anybody. Additionally, all the people that received the bonuses had signed non-disclosure agreements to not discuss it, which is obviously a red flag when it comes to payments. If you're signing a non-disclosure over a payment that's coming on your paycheck, obviously the general public and the taxpayers are not aware.
Interesting.
And from my understanding, it was caught by a whistleblower, had actually called it in through the whistleblower program, and that's when they started doing the investigation on the matter.
Interesting. You hear about that stuff, you see it on the news, and like you're just like, where's that taking place? Like, oh, right here. Format's pretty diverse like that.
And it's very unfortunate. It's a really negative look on our community when something like that happens. Yeah. And it's making major news headlines. It reflects very poorly on our administration, very poorly on our council. Yeah. And there's no way this should have slipped through the cracks for several years before getting caught. Mm-hmm. So,
how long have you been in Fort McMurray for?
I've been in Fort McMurray since 2002.
Okay, so what brought you here originally?
I heard there's some money to be made here. At that time, I had very little education. Came here, started washing dishes at the Garden Cafe. For anybody that's been here any significant period of time, started at the Garden Cafe. Worked my way up to cooking at the Garden Cafe. So if you had, you know, you went there and got a clubhouse sandwich at 3 a.m. after Diggers, I probably made it.
Boom! Really?
Back in 2002.
Oh, man. My studio is right at, like, I'm in the Greystone building, like, right down, and, like, I look at the Garden Cafe, and I hang out with Vaughn. You know Vaughn, obviously, if you were working at the Garden Cafe. And I'm just like, Vaughn, man, I miss the Garden. Like, that was the spot in Fort McMurray.
It definitely was, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Wow, that's a really cool origin story to coming up to Fort McMurray. So I'm not even going to ask. I was going to say, what's your wildest story from the Garden Cafe? Don't tell me your wildest story from the Garden Cafe, please, because you're probably not allowed to. But what's the story that sticks out with you from that time?
It's been so long now. I only worked there for probably less than a year. So that was many, many years ago.
Yeah.
Following that, I worked my way through various systems into, labor, got into an apprenticeship as a heavy equipment mechanic. Now, I spent 17 years as heavy equipment technician as well as automotive service technician.
Where at?
Various spots around within the community. I worked for Flint, Eveready back before it was Clean Harbors, Badger Daylighting.
When did you work for Eveready?
I worked for Eveready from about 2000, I'm going to say 2004 to 2006 maybe.
2004, 2006? I gotta go through my LinkedIn profile, but I think I worked at Eveready at the same time in like the human resource department that you were working there.
Very well could have.
Yeah, wild. And what were you doing for them at the time?
I started as a laborer, and that's where I started my apprenticeship initially as heavy equipment technician.
So you were in a vac truck, water truck? Like...
I was originally stationed as a laborer out in Albion Sands, and then later transferred to Suncor. I spent about a year at Suncor.
Yeah.
And that's where I got my apprenticeship, where my apprenticeship started right here in Gregoire.
Very cool. Wow. So you have a class one or class three license?
I've got a class one.
Okay.
Class one driver's license, journeyman heavy equipment technician certification, and automotive service tech certification.
Have you kept up your licenses? Because I'm assuming you don't drive anymore.
I do. Yeah. I do still maintain my licenses.
Yeah.
There's always a chance that you may have to go back to that one.
Yeah. That was a while, like when I used to work in that industry, like I would fly down to the East Coast to recruit, and it was one of those things where the boys were always like, what kind of logbooks do you got to run? And I'm like, well, it's kind of different because like you're not like you have to, but it's for time purposes, not for DOT. And they're just like, oh, and the stories that I'd hear about logbooks were just, it's a really interesting industry to be in.
Well, for me, I didn't do a lot of driving other than test driving after we repair a vehicle.
Yeah.
that's why I maintain a class one driver's license, because still got to do a little bit of driving to make sure everything's fixed, to make sure, you know, it's safe for the road and safe for the public.
Yeah. So why did you think it was pertinent to get a class one or three? Like, was that part of the requirements?
Class three was part of the requirements for heavy equipment tech. But I chose to get a class one again, all or nothing. If I'm going to do the job, I want to do it to 100% capacity.
Yeah, cool. So as of right now, in your current position, what would you say is one of like the main things that you're focusing on?
One of the main things that we're focusing on right now is really engaging the public, garnering public support, engaging our members, getting our members support. Mm-hmm. This extends to our reaffiliation with Wood Buffalo and District Labor Council. Omar, when you brought this back in the light, he's done a wonderful job. We've got a lot of support from them. Likewise, our members recognize who they are. They recognize who our members are, and the public is definitely recognizing who we are. So once we work through everything that we're working through, kind of for our union, for our local itself, we're going to be there to support all other unions as they've been there to support us. So it's really the engagement in the large labor movement that we're working through.
Yeah. And so where do you feel that movement is going right now?
I think you're going to see significant impacts when it comes to, you know, elected provincial representatives, municipal representatives, you know, hopefully to some degree, at some point it goes to federal, because we definitely need more labor-friendly elected officials, whether it be municipal, provincial, or federal government.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, there's been, from my view, a big case of divide and conquer, where they kind of pushed all the unions into their own in little groups, and you know, when we're all separated, we're not as powerful. When we all come together, which we've been doing as of late, when you have every union backing each other, it gives us the ability, strength in numbers.
Yeah. So in a tight-knit community where you have the opportunity to like bump into local councillors, mayors, MLAs, stuff, like, what's the game plan on like engaging and like working with or trying to get their ear?
It's difficult in our position due to the Municipal Government Act. It's difficult because there's significant topics they won't talk to us about, although we wish they would, because under the act they can't interfere in the operation of administration. But without that, where they have such a broad oversight, we're starting to see how big issues are happening. Like I said, the Bonusgate scandal with the million dollars in illegitimate bonuses. It was only February when the municipality threatened to lay off 459 employees, from our understanding, with no oversight or direction of council. So we wonder where that line really is with interference in the operation of administration, because we think there has to be a little more grip on it. But at the same time, we don't have a relationship close enough with council that would give us the ability to be comfortable with it right now. So we need very labor-friendly council, like a lot of these other folks with, you know, the healthcare workers and so on, need that at a provincial level as well.
So when it comes to that, like, do you guys have individuals that you know that are in the part of your crew that will potentially be running more labor-friendly people? Or, like, how does that all work when you're trying to influence, right?
Yes, so that is something that we've been discussing kind of on a large scale.
Yeah.
Not just with our group, not with QP 1505, but with larger groups such as Wood Buffalo District Labor Council, on looking for individuals that would be willing to do so.
Yeah, more labor-friendly potentially, because there is an election coming up in like a year and a half here.
October of next year, yeah.
Yeah, so food for thought. Like,
absolutely.
You know, neat. So you've been in Fort McMurray for a little while here. Why do you stay in the community?
This is a community that I made home when I was 18 years old. I don't plan on going anywhere. I got a lot of passion for this community. It's given me a very positive life, per se, with a lot of opportunities. I raised my kids here. Quite happy to stay in the community and keep representing it.
Nice. Now, it's a frequently asked question on this show for people who've been around for a minute. Where's your favorite place to go eat in town?
Favorite place to go eat? I don't know if I really got one. I frequent Boston Pizza quite often. But
goated.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boston Pizza is the best. It's like legitimately like their perfection level, consistency. The consistency of Boston Pizza is unbelievable. We talk about it on the show quite often. It doesn't matter if you're in Edmonton, Calgary, Toronto, Fort McMurray, like Boston Pizza tastes like Boston Pizza.
Yeah.
It's kind of wild.
For another smaller business that I just discovered in Timberley, it's a little cafe up around where the theater is. I can't remember what the name of it is now.
Is it Eagle Ridge?
Eagle Ridge, yeah.
Eagle Ridge,
that little tiny
Sarah,
cafe.
There you go. Boom, that's, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, yeah. That was probably some of the best food I've had in a while, so.
Oh, I'm going to cut that and make it a clip. She's one of our clients, so big shout out to Eagle Ridge. Sarah actually owns Eagle Ridge, Avenue Coffee, and Club Rewind. So she's a big community supporter. So please, everybody watching today, go out and support Sarah. That's a local business owner trying to make it work in Fort McMurray, really investing in the community. So that's awesome that you gave them a shout out. But listen, I'm pretty sure we're at the end of our time. So before I cut you loose, everybody does get a shameless shout out or plug. So you have the mic, the camera, the lights. Have fun.
So just shout out to all of our members that have been, you know, coming out and supporting us heavily. Well, Buffalo and District Labor Council, who's been supporting us, and more importantly, the residents of Fort McMurray. You guys have tenfold made a difference in what we've been able to achieve over the last couple months. We want you to continue doing so, and we want all members to get engaged with your union, support your union. In any other rallies or events that you see with other unions, I'm sure they'll be happy to have you there for your support. So get out there, get engaged. Together we make a difference.
There we go. Well, Fort McMurray with Buffalo, the rest of the world, that's been another episode of the Mac City Morning Show. From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much for tuning in. It does mean the world to me. Big shout out to our title sponsor, Neural Toyota, as well as Carrie from Patchouli Rose, and the beautiful people at Coldwell Banker. Hope everybody's having a great day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Peace. Good job, man. Boom, boom, boom.
Hi, everyone. It's Carrie with Patchouli Rose here at Thickwood Barbershop. If you're wondering what to get your loved one this season for Valentine's Day, I make an all-natural anti-aging skin serum called Good Skin. It's good for men and women, and it's available for purchase here at the barbershop, downtown at the corridor shops and events, and on my website. Thank you for your support.
Talk about quenching your ugly thirst. Really?